Hello, my name's Claire Rowntree and I'm a partner in the personal injury team at Boyce Turner Solicitors. I act for claimants who've suffered from life-changing injuries as a result of someone else's negligence. I'm joined by Christine Sharp, a case manager from Integrated Case Management, and today Christine and I are talking about some of the challenges we've experienced both working together and individually in our day-to-day practices relating to rehabilitation in the context of complex musculoskeletal injuries. These are injuries that affect joints, bones, muscles, and sometimes associated tissues such as nerves, and they cause pain, stiffness, limited movement, disability, and have an impact on independence and function and quality of life. With the advancement of pre-hospital emergency medicine, such as services delivered by air ambulances, and the rollout of major trauma centres over the last 10 years, we're seeing a greater number of people who are surviving really serious accidents. And as a result, there are a higher number of people with complex life-changing injuries and long-term care and rehabilitation needs. The largest number of survivors suffer from complex MSK injuries, and this is the cohort of people that we're discussing today. Because if you suffer from brain or spinal cord injury or amputation, the treatment and rehabilitation for these injuries is usually much more multidisciplinary and joined up, both in the NHS and privately. But this is not the case for survivors of complex MSK injuries. I've acted for a number of clients over the years who've suffered complex life-changing injuries, usually as a result of road traffic collisions, whether pedestrians, drivers, passengers, cyclists or motorcyclists, and also accidents caused in the workplace or a public place. And with those types of injuries, it's not just the physical recovery, there are also psychological issues to overcome. And many of our clients have long-term pain as a result. So trying to access disciplines that address all of those issues can be tricky, and there just isn't that provision. So Christine, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Claire.
And can you explain a little bit about your role as a case manager and what your work involves?
Case managers are usually someone who has a clinical background that can facilitate rehabilitation and ongoing assistance to meet the needs of your clients following complex injuries.
And what are the most immediate and common concerns that you see for people who suffer from complex musculoskeletal injuries?
Getting up and walking is the first one. The second one's getting home. The third one, I think, is just getting back to normal life. And it's usually in that order.
The sooner I can get a case manager involved in a legal case, the better, preferably whilst they're in hospital in an acute care setting, because that will help determine whether the client is able to be discharged home safely or needs to go somewhere else for treatment before going home, and what support they might need in place to be able to go home. Christine, what about from a case management perspective?
I really like to be instructed very early as well, and I like to do it right from that, like you're saying, right in hospital, right from the very beginning, so that I can have an influence and being able to speak to the treating teams of what the discharge plans are, what the follow-up plans are as well is invaluable, and to actually build a relationship with the NHS team so that we can provide complementary rehabilitation where there may be gaps in the NHS services.
And I think we've both seen that in cases that we've dealt with, both together and separately, haven't we? Where, for example, the client might have left a major trauma centre and gone to a district hospital, but in that district hospital, they just don't have the resource, the staff available to be able to deliver frequent or intensive physiotherapy or even provide psychological support after an accident.
That's right. And sometimes even to discharging to home, there can be 6, 8, 12-week delays and even having an assessment for community care as well, whether that be physiotherapy, occupational therapy, psychology therapy, if it's available in the areas.
So that's right. So getting case managers like yourself involved in the case, speaking to defendant insurers, advising what the situation is on the ground, really helps that sort of smooth transition and takes away a bit of that stress and worry for clients, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Major trauma centres should discharge patients with a rehabilitation prescription, which sets out all of a patient's rehabilitation needs. and it's useful for us and our case managers when we want to approach insurers for funding of rehabilitation. But it's not always completed, is it, Christine?
No, it's not. And it's part of the NICE guidelines to provide that care to clients. But from my experience as a clinician and a case manager, that's often the big major trauma hospitals, King's, St George's, that will provide them. But once it gets down to a lower level, so they may have gone to a big hospital, for example, in the likes of Brighton or Ashford, but these prescriptions aren't given. So it's very hard to try and justify to an insurer why ongoing rehabilitation is needed outside of a hospital setting.
And then just in terms of discharge planning, sometimes the home might not be suitable. What sort of challenges do you see?
There's two main areas that we look at. Is that access, whether the client can actually get into their house and get back out again. And the other one is the use of the bathroom. So whether the client can use the toilet and get in and out of the bath and have a bath or shower and actually wash and dress themselves.
And I like to work with my case managers and collaboratively with the defendant insurer to make sure that if the home isn't suitable, either we can arrange adaptations or get the client into a temporary home whilst adaptations or a suitable property is found. And obviously that can take a long time. But also just looking at getting a care package in place, making sure that liaison with the local authority for statutory funding is available or that we can access private funds from the defendant insurer. And then once in the community, rehabilitation just isn't about physical or psychological treatment, is it, Christine? It's also about vocational and social.
It definitely is. And I think once patients are home and they're walking and functioning, they then obviously move on to the next stage, which is returning to work and returning to their leisure activities. And for some patients, that may happen quite easily, and some patients it may not be, particularly with a vocational aspect of it. It might be that employers can't accommodate the needs of the clients and they may need further vocational rehabilitation and or retraining for another job as well.
And some of our clients, unfortunately, won't get back to regular paid employment, so they may look at voluntary roles. So making sure that we make a claim for their loss of earnings is very important for their financial security as well. And what are the sort of challenges that you see once a client is discharged into the community?
One of the major challenges when clients come back home is, as a case manager, is establishing an MDT team that can work together. And often it's extremely hard to coordinate the physio with the OT with a psychologist as well. And I think one of the big advantages of having a healthcare provider, for example, like Remedy, they have an in-house team that provides that as an inpatient if they need it, but also as a community team as well, because often clinicians can be working towards different goals and it can sometimes be a bit frustrating for clients where their rehabilitation isn't coordinated.
And obviously many of our clients experience psychological injuries as a result of their accidents and the impact that that's had on their lifestyle and work and so on. Being able to provide psychological support to clients and their family where necessary is really important because it can impact on a person's engagement in their physical rehabilitation if they're stuck or they're traumatized and they just can't get past that to be able to focus on their physical recovery, which can often be a sort of a long process. Christine, what's your experience in terms of psychological support for clients and are defendant insurers understanding of the need for psychological support?
In my experience as a case manager, I think a lot of defendant insurers are extremely helpful with it and do understand the nuances of it as well. I find it comes in two waves. So initially we have the trauma or the trauma response to the accident or injury, and that can be really helped by certain modalities that will help clients come to terms with their trauma and what they've gone through and what happened. But then usually around the 6 to 9 month mark after the injury, when clients have got over the initial rehab, everything's plateauing. It's often a stage where people are returning back to work. And I often find at that stage, clients become low in mood if they're not able to do what they think they'd like to do or what they perceive they should be able to do. And a lot of that time is dealing with depression, changes in relationships, and often family members maybe not liking the roles that have been put upon them or liking the changes in the dynamics of the relationship. And it's around about that time that sometimes relationships fall apart, and there's often a major shift in mood and psychological status at that stage as well.
From a legal perspective, we have to gather medical evidence from the relevant medical disciplines, depending on the type of injury sustained. We also instruct psychiatrists because we want an opinion on the psychological injuries that our clients have suffered from, whether they're likely to suffer relapses in the future, and whether they're likely to need further funding for treatment in the future as well. So just having that pot of money to be able to fund future psychological support, I think, is very important.
I think that sometimes after settlement clear, there's a lot of times where the case is very hard psychologically on the clients. Like you're saying, having that funds for future psychological care is very important for after it's settled and after all the people have left, all the legal professionals, the medical experts have all left, and then the clients left by themselves a little bit. And that's another milestone, shall we say.
And post-settlement, sometimes our clients will require some light touch case management in the future. What's your experience in those complex MSK type injuries of post-settlement involvement?
It can go two ways. Sometimes funds have not been available until settlement for some aspects of clients' care, and a case manager can often come in and just help all those get set up. Ideally, my philosophy as a case manager is that I want to be done out of a job so that I'm helping the client and to empower them to take care of their rehabilitation for the rest of their life.
So really your purpose is to empower clients to regain some independence then?
I think so. And I think that gives them more control over their situation because, as you said in the beginning, these are clients who have had injuries that are not their own fault.
Thank you so much for your time, Christine. It's been really interesting chatting to you about all the problems that we encounter with complex MSK injuries.
Thanks, Claire. It's been a pleasure.
If you have survived a major trauma accident and have been left with life-changing injuries or complex musculoskeletal injuries, and you would like further information about whether you can make a claim, please contact boysturnerclaims.com. Thank you. Goodbye.